And good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, June 21st, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 3, page 35, and more about alcoholism, starting with the first paragraph beginning with, "What sort of thinking dominates?" And we'll be reading this one paragraph only, ending in, "What is he thinking?" We'll be commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Athena B. for the 12 Steps, Nancy A. D. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Janice P. M., Don B., and Kathleen O. Our newcomer greeter today is Mo H., and Leslie W. will be doing our announcements. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, June 20th, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,060. So that's 13060. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, June 21st, 2019, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,063. So that's 13063. Our OA pre-emblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Athena B. to read our 12 steps of OA. Athena?
Good morning, everyone. This is Athena B. from Northern California, and these are our 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service in my house.
And thank you, Athena B., for reading our 12 steps today. And now Nancy A.D. will be reading our 12 traditions of OA. Nancy A.D.? Star 1 to unmute, please. Nancy? Yeah, there, Nancy?
Hi. Yes, I am.
Good.
Thank you. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never to be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never to be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, TV, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
And thank you, Nancy A.D., for your service this morning. Thank you. All right, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and that means please press star 1 on your phone and not just your mute button. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Better sounding on our meeting. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 35 in Chapter 3, More About Alcoholism, starting with the first paragraph, with what sort of thinking dominates. And we're going to read through that one paragraph only, and comments will be on this one paragraph. And so now I will ask Janice P.M. to start reading. Janice? Star 1 to unmute, please, Janice.
Okay, I was
you there.
Now I am. Can you hear me now? Sorry,
I can
about
hear
that.
You now, Janice.
Okay,
thank you so much, Sherry.
Thank you, Sherry KB, and everybody that's on the line. My name is Janice PM, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. What sort of thinking dominates an alcoholic who repeats time after time the desperate experiment of death of the first drink? Friends who have reasoned with him after a spree, which has brought him to the point of divorce or bankruptcy, are mystified when he walks directly into a saloon. Why does he? Of what is he thinking? Wow, of what is he thinking? Well, we know if we are a real alcoholic and not just a dieter or a heavy eater, that we have a double whammy. We have the physical part of our disease, which is the allergy, and then we have the mental obsession, mental ideas, mental thinking. The thinking comes from my mind, for whatever reason, that's how it's made. And I found that, yeah, my thinking was, you know, it dominated my actions. It controlled my actions with lies. And this fits my experience with overeating and overeating. You know, I could be on a diet and have thoughts like, that looks good, you know, but I can't eat that. Oh, I'm not going to eat that. It's not good for me. you know, I'm doing so well, you know, I've been doing this for like, you know, 6 months or whatever it is. But at the same time, I have other thoughts like, it's only a bit, I'm only standing up. You never had that taste before, so you can have just one. And then the second thought just overpowers that first thought, and I'm back again. I was a yo-yo dieter. Now, that was me, you know, and that's what happened. We don't think. The thinking is unthinking, you know. When I see a candle, I'm not going to put my finger out and just go, ooh, let me just see how it feels. No, I know, I think, I know it's going to burn me, but not with this obsession of the thought that overpowers me when I'm sober, when I'm abstinent, not even when I'm doing, when I'm abstinent, this happens to drive me back because you know what? I don't have any mental defense against that first bite. You know, I know that I could never stop my thinking. I can't stop my thinking myself. That's what the first step is. I can't. You know, people say, well, I can't. I know you can't. But, you know, this book has a solution. As long as we know we can't and we're different from a regular hard eater, because all the hard eater has to do is go on a diet, put the food down, right? And that's it. It's not a brain thing, you know, you just do it. But, you see, in order for me to change, in order for me to think properly, I have to have somebody higher than me recreate my thinking in my mind. That's where the crux of the problem is. So, yeah, we have two lines of thought. One side saying you can't, one saying, yeah, it's okay, you can just have a little, you know, but we know that we can't stop once we've started and we can't stop from starting again. We're doomed. And that's what it tells me. I mean, somebody normal would know that, geez, if I have a drinking problem, why would I go out of the bar and try to, certainly, and try to sell a car, you know, like we heard in the big book. Yeah, why would I go in the bakery, you know, because it popped in my head. And that's that. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
And thank you, Janice PM, for getting us started. So today we are reading on page 35 and more about alcoholism. We're on the first paragraph, what sort of thinking dominates, and we're going to read that one paragraph only. So who would like to share?
Shlomi Tana.
Michelle.
Margaret. Shlomi Hana, and then I heard who else?
Jackie.
I think I heard, was that Jackie?
Yes.
Okay. And then there's somebody,
Kathleen.
Oh, Kathleen. Kathleen O. Okay, gotcha, Kathleen O.
Margaret.
Michelle.
I'm sorry, there was another O in there, too. Who else?
Lane C.
No, I heard somebody before you, Lane. Was there a Marge?
Margaret.
Did I hear a Margaret and a Mo?
Yes.
Maureen.
Okay, I heard a Maureen and I heard a Mo.
Margaret.
Margaret. I'm sorry, Margaret. Yeah. We have a Mo and we have a Margaret and we have a Maureen. Oh, my gosh. You guys are the M's this morning. Okay. All right. So, let's see. All right. Margaret, what's the last initial of your last name?
D is in Delta.
Thank you, Margaret. And then, Lane, what's your last initial, please?
C.
All right, I think I have everybody now. And Shlomi Hana, I don't know your last initial. Could you give that to me, please?
B.
B.
Like
thank
boy.
You. Thank you. Okay, so here's our lineup. Shlomi Hana B, Jackie H, Kathleen O, Maureen O, Lane C, and Margaret D. All right, Shlomi Hana B, please get us started.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you, everybody, for doing service and for being on this line today. I can't do this without you, and we really need each other. And what a great paragraph. What am I thinking? You know, if I keep picking up the food, and I know the food is going to kill me, And I know it's going to bring me into insanity. Why do I keep doing it? What am I thinking? And you know what? I don't have an answer to that question. I really don't know. I don't know what I'm thinking. I don't know. All I know is the insanity. That's all I know, is that there is something insane going on in the process. And, you know, that's where I've been for the last, I guess, 3 months, is in this insanity, because my logical thinking says, well, you know, if I pick up my alcoholic foods, then I'm going to go right back into it, and it's going to lead to a binge, and I'm going to feel really bad, and I'm going to start gaining all my weight back, which I've already started doing, and it's going to put me in a miserable place, and I have so much to lose. I have a lot to live for, and I really, really want to live. I really want to choose life, and I really do. I do. I really do want to choose life. And then just this insanity picks up. And, you know, I can't even tell you what the thought is. It's almost like it's not even a thought. It's like just this crazy action that just says, okay, I'm picking up, you know, and there it goes. And everything starts over again. One thing that I did realize this morning is that part of my thinking is this deep, 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 very deep feeling of unworthiness and mistrust. I realize I am stuck on step two because I know that God can take me out of this insanity, but I don't really believe at a very deep level that he will. And if I don't believe that, then how can I take step three? I realize that's where I'm stuck. And I think that, you know, I think that
time.
Thank you. I'll just wrap up. That's the thinking that precedes the first bite for me. Thank you.
And thank you, Shlomi Hanna B. Jackie H., you're up, followed by Kathleen O. Jackie?
Oh, good morning. Good morning. Thank you for your service, Jerry, and everybody on Team Friday. Jackie H., recovered in Colorado, and so very grateful to be here. What was I thinking? Wow. I ditto everything that Janice said, so I'm not going to repeat any of that because that's where my thinking is as well. But you know, my very, very best thinking got me here. We hear that in the rooms all the time, don't we? And so I have come to realize that I cannot trust my very best thinking, and that is why it is vital that in the morning when I first wake up, that I ask God to direct my thinking and to turn everything over to my higher power. I even say things like, let me see with your eyes. Let me think with your mind. Let me hear with your ears. Because if I am the one in charge, this is why I'm here. This is why I'm sitting in the rooms of OA. This is why I'm sitting in 12-step, because my best thinking is distorted. And I have tried so many things in my life, from the time I was young until now. I mean, a little girl until I am now. And I remember I used to put my family on a diet that I was on. My family would roll their eyes when they'd see what I was going to do next. And, you know, I don't want to focus on that. I just want to focus on what it is like right now today. And I am learning. Well, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, without a psychic change, I would be just exactly where I was a year ago. And so I am so grateful to be here. I'm grateful for the process of these steps, and I'm very sorry my dog is barking. It's a little distracting to me, so I am going to probably pass because I'm not concentrating on what I'm trying to say here. But I am grateful for you guys. I'm grateful for my higher power. I'm grateful that I have these steps to work every single day, and that I, honestly, God has relieved me from the compulsion to overeat. Now, do I once in a while think, you know, maybe I could have just a bite of that? And you know what? I'm not willing to do that today. I've done that. I've played that game many, many times, and I'm not willing to do that today. And God willing, I won't do that today. I say things to myself like, oh, I don't do that anymore when those things come up. That's, nope, I don't eat that anymore. And that seems to work for me, as well as keeping my side of the street clean, working with others. Oh, my goodness, I'm working. I love the people that I'm working with. All right. I just love to watch their transformation and watch their thinking change as well. Thank you. So anyways, thank you all. I love you and have a wonderful weekend. I will pass.
Thank you, Jackie H. And Kathleen O., you're up, followed by Maureen O. Kathleen O.?
Good morning. Thank you for your service this morning, Sherry. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. Great questions in this paragraph. Why do I do this? Well, you know, life was too difficult, and eating always helped when life was difficult, or people weren't doing what I wanted, or things weren't going my way. Eating was my solution, and sometimes I did it because I just didn't care. So what sort of thinking dominates an alcoholic who repeats time after time the desperate experiment of the first drink? You know, our thoughts become our actions, and there's some examples of the thinking that dominated alcoholics to take that first drink. That absurd and crazy behaviors, such as Jim having a little whiskey in his milk, Fred, who thought a few cocktails with dinner was a good idea, and both these men knew that they had a problem and shouldn't be drinking. And so not being an alcoholic, these thoughts do seem crazy that these guys had. But when it comes to food, I've had the same thoughts, and they didn't seem crazy at all at the time. So, you know, if time after time I proved to myself that one bite would lead to 100, excuse me, and blow me up to over 200 pounds, why, after a year and a half of not eating sugar, when dessert was served while at dinner with friends one night, I suddenly had this really cool thought. Oh, I can eat like them. I can have one piece. I'll be okay. Story of my life. Those thoughts are nuts. And, you know, we all know where that one piece led me. I couldn't stop thinking about that dessert. It's all I could think of. I helped clean up the kitchen thinking about it. I went to bed thinking about it. I woke up the next morning thinking about it, and then I was off and running. And it took me 2 years to give up sugar again. I knew it was a problem. But my next brilliant thought was at my wedding. I thought, it's my wedding. I have to have a bite of wedding cake. So I did have that bite, and I only had a bite. And the baffling part was it took about 2 days to trigger the allergy. And then, much to my husband's surprise, I gained 50 pounds in 5 months. So, and this was all before I came into 12-step recovery. But it's that sort of thinking that dominated my mind before the first bite. You know, it's cunning, baffling, and powerful. There's no truer words. So we know the consequences of experimenting with the first bite, but for some baffling reason, and I like to call it amnesia, we take the bite with no thought of the consequences. And willpower didn't work. And of course, self-knowledge never worked. I mean, remember Roland Hazard, who believed he had acquired such a profound knowledge working with Carl Jung, and that relapse was unthinkable? Well, so much for thinking, because it said that he drank his way home to America. So the true nature of this disease is between our ears. It's that strange mental twist. And despite the pain and consequences, the pain has no memory and will pick up once again. So the purpose of this book is to show us how to recover from this seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, you know, to stop that strange mental twist, to really obliterate those thoughts that lead to the first bite. So our defense against this crazy thinking comes from a higher power, and the solution is a higher power and these steps. And thank you, Sherry. I'll just say these few last little words. You know, this works for me when nothing else did, so have the faith and courage to believe, because it can work for you, and the best is yet to come, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen O. And Maureen O, you're up, followed by Lane C. Maureen?
Hi, this is Maureen. It's Maureen S, though. I think it was me that you were
okay.
hearing, but,
Maureen S is in Sam?
Yes, I just want to make sure there
Thank
wasn't a Maureen
you.
O.
Okay, I hope so, unless there's another Maureen O floating around. Let's go with it, Maureen S. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Maureen S., recovering in New York. I'm so grateful for this reading. I'm abstinent about a month and working on step four. And when I'm thinking about this paragraph, you know, what was I thinking before I picked up so many times, so many relapsers? I'm definitely a chronic relapser. It's such a mix between sometimes not thinking and just out of habit, but predominantly, you know, throughout my life, it was, I was thinking, oh my God, I just have to, I want to end this feeling of, you know, hating myself and this feeling of, oh my God, I just can't deal with life. I just have to eat. It was just this desperate, desperate attempt to stop the pain, and it never, never worked. And, well, I should say maybe it works for about, you know, 10 seconds maybe. And then it's just the cycle, you know, as you're reading the big book, the cycle over and over and over again. So that's predominantly, like, I think my thinking was most of the time wanting to end the suffering. And it never, ever stopped my suffering. It always, always made it worse, always. So I'm really grateful to be abstinent and to have the mental clarity to know that my thinking is never correct, and I have to rely on my higher power and rely on the program and my sponsor. I can never, ever, ever go back to relying on my thinking. For me, that means doing all of the legwork, because if I get lazy and I think, oh, I don't need to listen to a meeting today. Oh, I don't need to make an outreach call today. Oh, I don't really need to read that prayer today. That's just the beginning of my thinking that brings me back to the food. So I really, really desperately now need recovery, which is beautiful because it does help. Oh my gosh, it's like night and day. When I was picking up one of my alcoholic foods, the suffering was magnified by 1,000 times. Now I'm picking up recovery, and it just soothes my soul. I have peace. I have serenity. I know that I am not in control anymore. I was obsessed with my adult children, helping them, fixing them, making sure they weren't going to make mistakes. It was just ridiculous. I would, oftentimes that, you know, that would trigger my me to compulsively overeat. And I don't have to do that anymore. And the fallacy is I was never in control anyway. But my disease told me I was. I was like a mini god. You know, I could save them. I could help them. I could, you know, fix these issues that they need to work on their own between themselves and God. And I'm not God anymore. That's what really has changed my life, just relying on my higher power. So just thank you so much for these phone meetings. Thank you, everyone, that's listening to my voice. I'm so grateful for this fellowship and for recovery one day at a time. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
And thank you, Maureen S. Lane C., you're up, followed by Margaret D. Lane?
Thank you so much. Thank you this morning for this meeting. This is Lane C., a recovered compulsive overeater, usually in upstate New York, but today in Spokane, Washington. So I felt really moved to share on this paragraph. Because last year at this very same time, I was away at a professional conference, which is where I am again, and I relapsed during that time. And it was a moment that is very similar to the story that follows this paragraph, Jim's story, and a lot of the stories that have been shared on this line around just having, you know, a mental twist. I was found myself face down in the food, lying to a sponsor, just, you know, having stuck in this thought of, I can just have this one thing, or I can just, you know, take this one week and get back into the food and then come back from it. And, you know, some of what I guess has been a part of my story has been that was the relapse that got me desperate enough to really get into this program and to find a sponsor in this program and to start really working the steps in a quick fashion and in a deep fashion. And so if you are someone today who is sitting in relapse, or if you are someone today who is sitting in dishonesty around the food in the program, if you are someone today who is struggling with enlarging your spiritual life, which, you know, is certainly one of the warnings that we have here. I know for me, I was so resistant at the time. I had worked through the steps, but I was so resistant to doing regular 10th and 11th steps. I thought they were a task and a chore rather than the spiritual gifts that they are in my life today. And I spent a lot of time sitting with, you know, what am I thinking? What's going on? And when I'm doing that, that's actually a block for my higher power. I really don't need to know exactly what I'm thinking. What I need to do is to take my heart and take my mind and take my actions and my thoughts to my higher power and seek guidance and listen, rather than getting caught in the sort of questioning that I see here. And I know for me, when I'm sitting in questions in my head, I'm not sitting in reliance on a higher power. That is all self-reliance. So, for the newcomer, for those of us struggling in the program, please reach out. Do not do this alone. And I'm so grateful for this meeting and so grateful for everyone who has shared. Thank you so much. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Elaine C. And before we hear from Margaret D., I'd like to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 35 in the first paragraph. What sort of thinking dominates? And we're going to read that one paragraph only. So get ready to chime in to share after we hear from Margaret D. Margaret?
Hey, good morning. And a big, big, big hug and a thank you to everyone that's in this meeting this morning. My name is Margaret D., and I am very grateful to be a recovered compulsive eater. So the line reads, what sort of thinking dominates a compulsive eater who repeats time after time the desperate experiment of the first drink or bite or whatever? I had to go back to pages 34 and 33 for just a split second. I've already passed through the point of being astonished at my inability to stop. And at that point, I don't have any connection yet that I'm powerless over anything. I still think somewhere in my brain, I don't know where, that if I just find the right quote unquote thing, I can control it. So maybe if I eat with one foot off the ground, maybe if I eat according to what a diet program says, maybe if I do what my doctor says, maybe if I do what my cousin over in New Jersey says to do, maybe if I do whatever is in the latest magazine in the grocery store, you know, eat whatever it is and lose 20 pounds or whatever. And I've gone past that, and I'm also unable to eat moderately. When I got to the point where I couldn't eat moderately and I realized I had no control over this, I can guarantee you I had one tremendous case of the jitters. And it was like, what the heck? What in the world's going on? And then I went right into depression. So that was kind of my state of thinking. But that's also, you know, got a lot of emotional aspect to it. Fast forward, get into a 12-step program, you know, start working the steps and doing all that. Nothing's changed. I mean, as far as my ability to control or whatever. And what sort of thinking? It's non-thinking. For me, just for me, it's almost like it is in the cells of my body, almost like being, it's not unconscious, it's not subconscious, but it's like in my bones, in my muscle. It's like coughing if I have pneumonia. I don't have any control over it. The urge to cough is there and I just do it. and I don't think about it. I just don't. And again, this was really helpful for me to get me to the point where I could concede to my innermost self that, yes, I do have the physical allergy and the mental obsession. And again, thank you so much to everybody that's here in this meeting. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Margaret D. So as I mentioned, we're on page 35, paragraph 1, what sort of thinking dominates? Who would like to share?
Mo H.
Patty T.
Reggie O.
Betsy QK.
Hannah L.
Robin DZ.
Okay. I think I've got everybody. Woohoo! All right. So let me tell you who I have. All right. I have Mo H, Patty T, Reggie O, Betsy QK. I think I heard a Shauna L and a Robin DZ. Am I correct? If I have your last initials wrong, please tell me.
That is correct.
Yippee! All right, I'm batting 1,000 here for Friday. Okay, Mo H, please get us started.
Good work, Sherry. Thank you very much for your service, Sherry, and thank you to all those giving service and those on the line and all the shares. I'll start my timer here. Okay, thinking. I was just listening to the shares thinking, what the heck with the thinking? Why do I have to know what I'm thinking? All I know is that I am, you know? And I've heard it said that we're not responsible for our first thought, but I am responsible for my first action. So between that thought and that action, there is a pause. And that's when my higher power, I need to call on my higher power. I need to do something differently. I don't need to act on the thought. So doing something differently would be picking up the phone, doing a 10 step, going for a walk, doing some writing. If you're at work, drinking a glass of water, or get up from your chair and turn around and then sit back down because it's going to jumble the brain. Our brains really like to mess with us, especially us addicts, or me. I'll talk about me, a real compulsive eater. So I don't need to focus on that thought. I would rather focus on my recovery and do that pause in between. That pause is really helping me today in other areas of my life. So I pause. The words are said, pause, pray, and proceed. Those three little words. Just take my time. So I don't need to dissect why am I doing this or what am I thinking. I just need to act. Take the actions of recovery. That's why this program has taught me how to do that one day at a time. I follow these actions. I follow the directions as they are stated in this big book. One day at a time. And I plan to do this forever, God willing. And I think with that, I'll pass. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Mo H. All right, Patty T, you're up, followed by Reggie O. Patty?
Hi, Sherry. Thank you so much for your service. Hi, everybody. Patty T, recovered by the grace of God, and I really mean that, from Southern California. You know, I had a conversation with a wonderful fellow from this fellowship last night just about this paragraph, although I probably didn't realize it at the time. Example, I went into the market last night to get chicken and coffee. And as I was going down the coffee aisle, there was a display of sugar-free chocolates, right? And I haven't eaten sugar-free chocolate or any kind of sugar-free in over 2.5 years because it hurts me physically. And I've been abstinent from, frivolous sugar for over a year since I came to this fellowship by the grace of God. But that thought entered my mind, oh,
that's not sweetened with sugar. I could have that. And so I grabbed it, right, and went on to get my coffee. I threw it in my little bag, and then I got my coffee. And then on the way to get the chicken, during that pause, I heard my higher power literally say, "Are you sure you want to do that?" It wasn't a judgment. It wasn't a manipulation. It was just a curious question. Are you sure you want to do that? And I got my chicken, and I thought, how many ways could I use, like a drug addict, that product? And I thought, you know, I'm not willing to do that today. Thank you, God. And I went back to the display. I replaced it where I found it. And I went on about my life. Now, that is a miracle, because for 13 years or almost 12 years before I came into this fellowship, that thinking eluded me. I never got that. I never got that God was in the pause. I never was willing to listen to my higher power and that quiet, unjudgmental voice. I was always only willing to listen to that manipulation and that solicitation and that seduction of the disease. And sometimes I wasn't even aware of it, that thinking, that amnesia, that thinking. Today, I am abstinent by the grace of God. And I got back from my car, and I saw that a fellow had called. And I returned her call, and the two of us had this amazing meeting. And God led it. God is leading the meeting, just like he leads this meeting every single day. And I am so grateful. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
And thank you, Patty T. Reggio, you're up, followed by Betsy Q. K. Reggie?
Hey, good morning, Sherry K. Thanks so much for your service and everybody who's on the line this morning. This is Reggie O., very gratefully recovered here in the Los Angeles area. What sort of thinking dominates an alcoholic, a compulsive overeater who repeats time after time the desperate experiment of the first compulsive bite? You know, as I've been sitting here listening to people, which I'm always so grateful for, and just thinking about this and in my own history, you know, there could probably be a volume written about the thinking, you know, that happens, that can happen before that first bite. And this says what sort of thinking, you know, it doesn't say what are you thinking. It says what sort of thinking dominates an alcoholic, you know. And when I was thinking about that, I thought the times that I have done the desperate experiment, you know, of the, whether it was felt desperate or not, of that first bite, the thinking was either or both distorted and delusional, you know, because anytime with all of the experience that I have had, the thousands, the tens of thousands of times, I don't know, I couldn't count, that I've picked up, you know, that first bite and had it take me out either momentarily or a week later, that's totally, I mean, it is delusional and it is distorted. My thinking is absolutely not right. And love what I've heard here today. And that's why this book is absolutely miraculous in these steps, because it handles that, you know, it somehow handles that and straightens out our thinking. We have that psychic change by doing this spiritual work. And it's interesting, you know, that the solution is a spiritual solution. And there's a lot of work in there. And the other part, you know, that I've also had the experience of not thinking, you know, it says, I don't even know where it came from. I've walked into a store and picked up a bag of popcorn or whatever, and without a conscious thought that I was aware of. And I've sometimes eaten, and after I've had it, you know, I would think, oh my gosh, I was in a totally different state of consciousness when I did that. How did I get there? You know, so it is fairly crazy, but we have something, I'm so grateful we have something that works. And what I've come to realize is, you know, and I'm very grateful for this too, is I do have to enlarge my spiritual life on a daily basis. And that's, I can't let this go for a day. This does have to be a way of life for me, not a working through the steps. And then, you know, I'm one and done, because I'm never done. And And you know, the other part of that is I've become so grateful to be a compulsive eater and have this way of life, because it's a miraculous, wonderful way to live. You know, even if I wasn't a compulsive eater, I don't know if I could have lived the rich, full life I have today without this, you know, without this program and this way of life. But it is, you know, I've got to do it every day, and I come to want more and more to do it every day because it's so rich, and I don't have to do it alone, which was always my MO. I've got this, and I've got God. I've got you all, and I've got God, and I've got a life today. So thank you for, just thank you. I'll pass.
And thank you, Reggio. Betsy 2K, you're up, followed by Shauna L. Betsy 2K?
Thank you. Hi, this is Betsy QK, recovered bulimic compulsive overeater. And I can relate to this where, you know, the disease takes many different forms and has for me, where sometimes it was just unconscious and all of a sudden, you know, the food that I said I wasn't going to eat was in my mouth and I was off and running. And sometimes it was what I thought was a conscious decision, because I just was like, you know what, I'm going for it today, tomorrow I'll be perfect. And I convinced myself that that was me making that choice just to be in the food, and then tomorrow I'm going to really work my program and get it, do it right. But really, it wasn't me making that choice. It was the disease talking me into something that I knew was insane, that it was going to be the same results. I was going to wake up feeling the four hideous horsemen it talks about, you know, bewilderment, terror, and can't remember the other two right now. But just feel all those desperate feelings again. And it wasn't a choice. It never has been a choice when it comes to food. It's always the disease making the choice for me. And the solution is working the steps. But I also like what somebody was talking about, you know, the pause. So, you know, thinking about it doesn't work, but thinking through the first bite, asking God to help me think it through. Here's what's going to happen. I take that first bite, then I'll be fighting wanting the second bite, or I'll be off and running, and then I'm going to have more than just that one thing, and then it could go on for days, weeks, months, years, you know, just thinking it through. And asking God for the next right thought or action to change the direction, And that's what it takes, because I absolutely don't have a mental defense against this disease. You know, my best thinking would lead me, you know, into convincing myself that I was going to make the choice, as if it was a choice, to eat today and get abstinent tomorrow. I'm grateful that I don't have to do that today. I don't have to jump back into my bulimia. I don't have to jump back into, you know, thinking that I have control of this disease. Because when it comes to food, I'm powerless. And I hope I continue to get that on a deeper level as I grow in this program. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you, Betsy. Okay. We have about 3 minutes left. So Shauna L. and Robin DZ, if you take a minute and a half each, we can get you both done. Shauna L., please join us.
Hi, this is Hannah L. from Pennsylvania, compulsive overeater. Sorry, you had my name wrong. It was Hannah L.
Go ahead, please.
Thank you. We're in the chapter of more about alcoholism, and that's what happens when I put down the food, the drink, whatever it may be. And the big book tells me that this disease is a twofold disease. It's a mental obsession and a physical allergy. And that mental obsession is the biggest part. And in the beginning, it talks about the thinking that dominates an alcoholic. For me, there's no thinking involved. My disease, all that it is, it's just wired in me. And I don't think, I just do, because like that's what I know, to eat no matter how I feel, just to hide things and bury things and not deal with things. And my disease has given me a loss of choice when eating, and that's why I need a plan of eating. And you know, I tried this desperate experiment time and time again, you know, will this work if I just take one bite of this or whatever the case may be, and that is not it. That's why I need a spiritual experience. And when I get into this mental twist, I just know that like my thoughts are not reality. And, yeah, that's all I have. Thank you all for...
Thank you. And Robin DZ, you're up. Please, 1 minute. Thank you. Robin DZ? Are you there, Robin? Okay, well, I guess we'll end early and give our newcomer greeters some more time here. Well, wow. Can't believe this meeting's gone so quickly. What a wonderful, wonderful meeting. You guys are awesome. Great shares today. Thank you so much. I just want to thank Team Friday, Athena B for the 12 Steps, Nancy A.D. for the 12 Traditions, Reader of Our Text was Janice P.M., Don B. will take us out on page 164, and our backup today was Kathleen O., newcomer greeter Mo H., and I hope announcements will be Leslie W. I just want to give us all a big hand and applause there. Thank you so much. And so now we will hear, we'll do our closing with a reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And now will Don B. please read page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and we'll keep you until then. Don B., star one to unmute, please. You there? Don B., can I be heard?
Yep, you can.
Good
I
morning,
can do that, Sherry.
Good morning. This is Don B. Sorry about that. I was talking away.
Please go ahead. Thank you.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you